is where it comes in. The gospel of salvation is what? The gospel of the grace of God. Back over to Romans chapter 7.
That's so important. Trusted justification part.
Trusted.
Yeah, not just knew about it.
I like that part where it says sealed before that time in Acts chapter 2. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, but here they were sealed, branded, and locked up under the coming of
the Spirit. Let me ask you a question. If you're sealed, can you lose your salvation?
Absolutely
no.
No way.
If you could, God Himself, all righteous, all knowing, all just God, is a liar. And He's not. What about it? Can you hear that there? I know you can. It's vibrating off the walls. Now, back over to Romans chapter 7. Verse 15. Paul says, he's carnal in 14, so will the sin. For that which I do, the greatest apostle ever said, for that which I do, I allow not. He don't want to do it. But for what I would, in other words, what I would want to do, that I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Paul in the flesh is hurting because he's a carnal man, he said he was. Just like all of us in here. And what he does and what he does wrong, you don't have to ask for forgiveness again, because if you do, that's a reproach upon God Almighty Himself. Because you've already been forgiven right here. Tell him you're sorry for what you did, but don't ask him for forgiveness. Or you're going to crucify him all over again like the Catholicism does? Now, verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. What dwells in a person? Sin! You can't help it! How'd that sin get there? For by what? Romans 5:12. For by one man sin entered into the world. When his wife got him to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He died spiritually right then. Right then. And it's passed upon all men, it says in Romans 5:12. So you need a Savior. First you've got to recognize that you're a sinner. How can you claim a Savior if you don't know you're a sinner? You may not think you need one. People are afraid to preach the truth because they're afraid everybody's going to walk out and not give their money in tithing. They're afraid they're going to run the congregation off. If I run you off, I don't want to, but if you got to go, you got to go. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to teach the truth. I don't care what the government likes about it. I don't care what Joel Osteen likes about it or George Meyer likes about it. They're headed to hell based upon their gospel. Not them personally. But what is it in a man that's sinful? The blood's been tainted. It's passed upon all men. That's what it is. Because when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, what? In Luke 24:38-39, He had flesh and bone. Could that be sinful? If it was, He took it to heaven with Him. So we know He walked around down here on earth another 40 days in flesh and bone. Is that not correct? It's that blood that He didn't have any longer. He got the adoption that we're looking for at the rapture. When we no longer need blood and we can go anywhere. Like an astronaut going to Mars, we won't even need an air pack. Just think about that. One of these days you're going to be able to all the way across the universe, instantly. It's just going to happen. Damn. Verse 17 of Romans 7. Now then, it is no more I that do it. Paul is blaming on something. Sin. But sin that dwelleth in. Paul just blamed his carnality on sin that dwelleth in. As Dave said earlier in his first message, we don't want to use that as an excuse. We need to try to clean up our act. But you know what? Our wants, just like right now I'm going through this diet thing, low carb. I had a big filled donut this morning. Should I have had it? No, I shouldn't have had it, but I did.
It felt good, didn't it?
It felt so good to taste that. Now, I don't consider that to be a sin, but the fact of it is, it's an analogy of what we do in the flesh. It was I don't know when it was, last night, I guess. Some of these girls came up on the television. Ooh, I mean, they were just hardly have nothing on. I told Carol, I said, God, that looks good. And I said, you know, here in the future, not, you know, in the here to here future, you're going to see them topless and everything else. That's how the moral decay of this country has fallen on the wayside. In Australia, they had what we got now in the 70s when I was over there. So I know it's a progression, okay? It is. But anyway, back to what I want to talk about if I get a chance. Don't you think that Acts 2.38 is going to help you in one iota? If you put your confidence in repent and be baptized for remission of sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you're going to bust hell open. What are you telling me? God, you're a mean guy. No, I'm not mean. I've got a just God that says so. Why don't you follow His directions? If you're making, I'm going to tell you, you can check this out. If I'm making, say, chili, and we had that last night. Trish made some of the best chili I've ever tasted. Really, I'm going to have some more of it.
Did she bring some for everyone?
No,
it's not the greatest night.
Don't let the
here's people know. You mix something, one thing, just one thing. If I put Tabasco sauce in it, it's all salty, just still chili, ain't it? But golly, I wouldn't tell you. It's been contaminated. Well, an outside source is no good, even though that's good in something else. But the mixture was wrong. It's like trusting the wrong gospel. This is that proper chili that I ate last night. It's great. This is what I celebrate, this right here. But I don't celebrate putting a foreign substance that does not make that good. Like the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That was a fantastic gospel for the time that Peter and the 12 preached it. And it will be again, and I know it's going to be preached again, because Matthew 24:14 tells me it will be, and it's going to start the first day of the tribulation. We're out of here. We're not going to do that. Once that rapture takes place, the catching out in the air, you know what? Grace, as we know it now, will never ever be taught again. The best time in life to have ever lived is right now, during this dispensation. You don't have to go anywhere, pick up anything, jump over any hoop, step up here, speak in tongues, nothing! Just trust in what was already done for you. Don't you try to help God save you! And that's the problem with people. They're not used to having everything free, except when this new president came in. They all want it free now. But the thing is, we always want to help people. That's our nature, to help people. To help God save us. No, you can't. If you could help God save us in any form or fashion, then Jesus Christ died in vain. That's what it says. But you know, there's too many of us. I was one of them. I was preached this, as you know, for 2 years, and I just thought it was a cult. And I said, this has just got to be crazy. Brother Moore's a nutcase. But I found out who the nutcase was. It was me. I was not believing the scriptures of the King James Bible or any other Bible. I was using numerous Bibles at that time. But I finally trusted one morning, 1986. Let's continue on. See, all people are in unbelief now. Do you know that? Glory to Romans chapter 11. But see, the gospel of Christ that was preached was to the Jew first. Because there was a remnant that God wanted him to pick up. A remnant by grace of the Jews and the Greeks. To pick them up. The Greeks are those who blessed the seed of Abraham. You never blessed the seed of Abraham. You cursed the seed of Abraham. You worshiped Diana, Artemis, anything you could. But not the real God. Now, in, where am I at? Romans of chapter 11. See, verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in belief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now, who is them all? That's the Jews. They're in unbelief now because they have fallen. That's why salvation, as I mentioned earlier, came into the Gentiles through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy. But they're no different. At one point in time, before Romans 11 there, they were God's people. You know, but if you want to go to Hosea, you don't have to. Just remember it. Hosea chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. God says, there are not my people anymore. You think the Jews is the chosen people now? Well, let's just go over and read it. I see some stares. Hosea. Yes, it's in the Bible. Following Daniel, guys. Hosea chapter 1. He's talking about Hosea taking a wife named Gomer. Well, I wouldn't want to marry a woman named Gomer. In verse 9, then she's pregnant. Then said God, are y'all there in Hosea chapter 1? Then said God, call his name. I said, baby, who am I? For you are not my people, and I will not be your God. He's talking to the Jews. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, and it was by God, you are not my people, and he said it, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. Right now, in this dispensation that we're living in, they are not God's people. That's what the Bible says. They have fallen politically and religiously. But that's going to change. The moment the rapture takes place, they become God's people again at the Valley of Jezreel, and that's just what it said. You either choose to believe the Bible, not what some man told you. I don't care if Billy Graham told you. Who told you? If it's not scriptural, rightly about it, forget about it. Move on to somebody else. If I get to the point I'm not teaching you what's in this book here, you need to move on. Because I've lost my mind. Now, yes?
It's always been taught that they are God's chosen people.
They were, and they will be again. But right now, by prophecy, they're not.
So why are they classified now?
Just like us.
There's neither Jew nor...
There ain't no Jew, no bond, no Jew, no Gentile, no bond, no free, no male or female. There are you don't bless a Jew today. Like John Hagee tries to tell you, bless a Jew, you bless a Jew, and you follow that doctrine that Hagee's preaching, guess what? You're in trouble.
And even if you think it's not clear, isn't there a scripture that says, through the fall of Israel, salvation shall come unto the Gentiles?
Well, let's just read it. Start in Romans chapter 11, go to verse 1. I say then, Paul wrote this book. You want to keep your mind focused on Romans through Philemon. Those 13 books. Paul was a rebel, and number 13 is rebellious. So he was the 13th apostle, not of the first 12. Now, the fact of it is, I say then, hath God cast away his people? You see, it's called his people. The Jews are called his people there. God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribes of Benjamin. Well, Paul, the apostle, the greatest apostle there lived, was a Jew.
He sure didn't believe in Jesus Christ, though, did he?
No, he did not. Paul, when he was out there holding that coat back in Acts chapter 7 of Stephen, consenting unto his death, he'd give voice of it. He wanted anybody that believed in the little flock, and that was was not us. That was at the church of Jerusalem, not the church, the body of Christ. People got to understand, Peter and Paul and his bunch and those apostles were preaching to somebody that was in a church made in Jerusalem by God himself, out of Matthew. We're not in that body. Dave read it today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. It's called the body of Christ. It's a spiritual, invisible body. And Christ is the head of it. And it's easy to document that. Okay? No problem. But I want you to see, Paul, he wanted to, well, it's just like Dave said, he had letters from the council in Jerusalem to go over there and arrest, kill, whatever.
As Saul.
Yeah, he was named Saul at the time. And, you know, it's kind of strange. I look back on Saul. He was a Roman citizen and he was also a Jew. And that's why Jews and Gentiles are in the body of Christ together. He was there and he could talk to each one. Okay? But I think back to the first king of Israel. Who was he? Saul! The first apostle, the only apostle to us, his name was Saul. But God killed the other one, the first king, Saul, for disobedience. But he didn't kill Paul. Saul, he changed his name in Acts chapter 13, verse 9. He changed it to Paul. And he is the first into the body of Christ. That's what it says. And he is a pattern, right, Dave? Yes.
Well, in a way, Jesus Christ did kill Saul. Because he killed everything, pretty much everything that he was and everything that he had been teaching.
Spiritually, he killed Saul.
And he saved him and gave him the mystery.
Give him the mystery, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, look at this. So we know that Paul loved the Jews because he was one of them. As a matter of fact, it really goes into detail how he could do this and would do that to save some of his countrymen, which are the Jews. But, verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, Paul writes, chapter 11 of Romans, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Do you know what a remnant is? I remember my daddy, and I've told you this before, I think, but my daddy sold suits at one time, and he had a little sample. It was on the board. Pasteboard. You ever see that, Jim? That's a long time ago. And at the end of it, Mama would tell you, put it off of that. And she'd sew them all together, make a quilt. That was a remnant, a small amount. You took this remnant and that remnant and that remnant, you made something large. But we're talking about a remnant here, which is very small. Now, there's a remnant that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, wanted the Apostle Paul to get. And they were Jews and they were Greeks. Those people that were in the covenants of promise. Not anybody in this room. Not any ancestor of yours in this room. No. Now, let me see where. Okay, verse 11. Paul says, I say then, have they stumbled, talking about Israel, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, who fell?
Israel.
Come on, yes. Israel fell. The Bible just said it did. You want to believe it or you don't want to believe it? That's up to you. You choose to pick and choose what you want to believe. That ain't going to work. You got to believe what God said through the Apostle Paul. He said, but rather through their fall, rather through Israel's fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. In verse 13, I want to be emphatically clear. For I speak to you, Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. How can they turn around and make Peter their apostle? Why are they preaching Peter in the pulpits of the world? The Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Methodist, every church is preaching what?
Peter.
Peter is not your apostle. You're going to go to hell believing it if you don't change and repent. That's all it means. Repent is change. I'm telling you. Now, verse 25, same chapter. For For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. What? That blindness, in part, has happened to Israel. What does it mean? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming in. Well, when's that going to happen? Right here, guys. When that last person is saved in this body of Christ, the spiritual invisible church that you're a member of, and Christ is the head of, the rapture takes place. That's the fullness of the Gentiles. It will never, ever be preached again. Grace. Never, ever. Dave talked about they're all in unbelief, and we just read it. They're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the what? Glory of God. Romans 3:23. Damn. We did that. Yeah. Some people, and we've covered this, but some people believe that, you know, they can help. That they can help. And they believe, you know, like Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. They don't tell you how to be saved. It's a true statement. You've got to tell them the gospel. Because if you don't, I guarantee you, you walk out of here and you go to any church and catch them and interview them on the way out. Are you saved?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God.
The question you should ask, are your sins all covered regardless?
Oh, that right there, I get them right off the bat. No. They think that they, based upon Romans 3:25, they misinterpreted it about past sins. They think that you have been forgiven, the majority of the world thinks you have been forgiven of your past sins and the sins you did today until you walked the aisle and got baptized. But all of those in the future, you still got to confess and ask for forgiveness. That's the normal teaching. No, the Bible says all. It didn't say all of them from today backwards. All of them in the future. Because, see, we've talked about this so much, but it's important to say it again. The moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in Christ. That's your position. Your everyday walking around condition is a sinful individual man, woman, child, whatever. That's your condition. But what I'm concerned about is your position. The moment, and it says so in Romans chapter 8, starting around verse 13, 14, and 15, that you are what? An adopted son of God. An heir. Woo! You, golly, let me read that. Let me find that. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. How do you get, how are you led by the Spirit of God? By trusting in this gospel of the grace of God. They are the sons of God. If you don't trust in this gospel, you're not a son of God. I don't care how much money you got, where you come from, who your parents were, or whatever. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You heard that. We're spiritually adopted the moment you trust. But now at the rapture, we're going to be adopted with a new body. Make sense? Now, verse 16, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit itself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you don't know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God, you're lost. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Listen to this. And joint heirs with Christ. My God, Christ went up here and He died for you. You're a joint heir with Him. My goodness. How good can it get? I didn't say you had everything Christ did, but you're a joint heir with Him. My goodness. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. I'm going to tell you, everything you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans 8:1, and I'm going to get back to that one question here in a minute, but in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. When God looks down from heaven, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ covered your sins. They're gone. He can't see through that blood. Just like the mercy seat in the Old Testament. It's so wonderful. What? Anyway, we're going to keep going here. Back to my one thing. If you ask the people of all the churches in the United States, I ain't going to say the world knows it all applies. Are you saved? Yeah. I walked the aisle, got baptized. I pay my tithes. Preachers, he welcomed me into the church. Okay. How do you know you're saved? Well, I've done that. No. I don't get it. That ain't salvation you've just done. Jim did that, didn't you?
Sure did.
Just get down where the rubber meets the road. You've got to tell somebody the truth. They may not believe you. They may doubt you. But get them into the Scriptures to check you out to make sure you're telling them the truth. As Dave said, take that. He's got that handout. Excellent. Take it with you. Make you some index cards. But always take this. So you can show them that's just not something from you. Now, I'm telling you, some people will listen. Just you. But you need to have a New Testament with you, a pocket New Testament, if not a Bible. Because people want to, it's pretty hard when you show them something and they can see it and read it. This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. Because see, if you don't have something like that, this is the authority. If you don't have something like that, then it's just words coming out of your mouth. Even though the Holy Spirit is telling you the truth, and if that person is lost, they're not going to understand anyway. Because that's what Corinthians is about. The natural man receiveth not the love of the truth, does he? Because these scriptures are spiritually discerned. If the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you, you're not going to understand this, because the Holy Spirit knows this. You can converse if the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Yes, Jim?
The gospel is good news. Now, if I trust Christ and I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, the promise, and then I can go out and sin and lose my salvation, that is not good news.
That ain't good news.
That is not good news. If Christ did not indeed pay for all my sins, then I'll never see heaven.
Right.
He didn't do that. But he did.
But he did.
And because he did, and because I trusted what he did, not what I've done, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit promise. And I can't lose my salvation. It's impossible.
No, because it says it in there three times that you're sealed. Right. I have to say the Bible's a lie or it's true.
And that's good news.
That's good news. Hey, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. What does it say? Where sin did abound, grace did what? Much more abound. You can't sin enough to come out from under grace.
Helps me.
Thank God for that. I'm a wicked sinner. But I'm saved, sinner.
Amen.
That's what this is about. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done on Calvary, I ain't talking about walking around in His earthly ministry of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm talking about His heavenly ministry that He gave to the Apostle Paul. And it mentions that in Galatians chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12. It's by direct revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul, to us. And if you've never trusted the gospel, it's called the simplicity of the gospel. It is simple, guys. Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected to pay for all your sins.
But what it does is it takes your ego out of it. That's why it becomes difficult.
That's right. You can't boast about it. Because Ephesians 2, what? 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved. And that God of your Savior. It is a what? Gift of God. Not of works. Who wants to work themselves there whenever the Bible says you can't. It's a gift. It's not a works lest any man should boast. And that's what you're talking about right there. Taking the ego out of the way. So you can't boast about it. Man, I got $4 million and I can boast about me being saved. I helped the Lord. No, you didn't. He don't care if you got $1 or $10 million. See, that's the problem with people. We're too judgmental. If Jesus Christ came back to some of these churches today, they wouldn't let him in the door. They would not let him in the door because he's dressed differently.
Doesn't cut hair. Doesn't have long hair.
He might have a beard.
Yeah.
Long hair. Sandals. You know, I'm sure he'd be clean and that kind of stuff. But when his clothes be pressed, oh my God, would that be? Oh yeah, welcome him on in.
He'd probably wear a tunic.
Yeah.
But you know what? He would welcome anyone who would come, regardless of where they came from. That would be a problem for a lot of churches.
Now see, this is a problem for a lot of churches.
Yeah, poor.
Black and white and all that. We don't care what color a person is. They're always welcome in here. We don't care what gender they are. We don't care the age. We don't care. Well, we like them to be clean, but we're not going to keep anybody out because they're not. But we want to come in here. We had a guy come in Pensacola when we were over there that wore a bathing suit. That's a fact. Yeah, man, none of y'all remember that, I don't think. I don't think you were there. Me and Gerald Trich. Candy, you remember him? Lieutenant Colonel retired out of the Air Force out of Fort Walton. But the whole thing now is, have you trusted in this gospel? Now's the time to do it. Nobody's going to ask you to come up here, profess anything, to confess anything. Not a thing. You're just trusting right there where you're at. God done all the work. You ain't got to do nothing. You ain't got to tell anybody. But I guarantee you, if you truly trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to tell somebody because you can't contain yourself. I know when Carl got saved, he had to come in here and tell me how this love. Jim got saved. I was just ecstatic for both of them. So, I'll just leave you with that. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved by believing and trusting.